Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, so many of you have taken time to send us messages on social media or to email me personally and tell me how much you enjoy these unsung hero segments. And quite typically, I will recognize a groom, an exercise rider, a stallion barn manager, a breeding manager, whatever it might be. And people that don't often get into the spotlight in our sport. Well, I decided to do it a little bit differently this week because this past Wednesday, trainer Kathleen O'Connell joined me for a one-hour conversation about her life and her career. She joined me on my trainer talk show, which you can catch every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Eastern here on the network. But she talked about becoming the number one winningest female trainer in North American thoroughbred racing history. And that occurred this past weekend on Sunday at 2:36 p.m. Eastern, March 12th, when this happened.
They come toward the top of the stretch. More drama cuts the corner to go to a narrow advantage. My Eagle soars down the far outside. Here comes Awesome Prince starting to stoke the fires. Discreet Devil in between horses. They have a final furlong left to go. Here comes Awesome Prince up on the outside. My Eagle soars still holding on just in front. It's My Eagle soars. Awesome Prince, Discreet Devil between them and down on the inside. More drama. My Eagle soars. Awesome Prince. My Eagle soars still just in front. My Eagle soars. Awesome Prince. My Eagle soars. A little bit of history there as Kathleen O'Connell becomes the all-time winningest female trainer in North America. My Eagle soars, wins it.
That was Jason Beam with the call of that historic moment. You know, I'm sure you've watched that race. At least I will assume that you've watched that race a few times since it's taken place. But put me there with you. What was it like as you were watching My Eagle soars come down the stretch?
Well, you root and cheer for all of them, and we've been rooting and cheering especially hard, obviously, the last week. So it means a lot, and it means a lot because it's an emotional ride over the years, and all the people that supported me as far as workers, owners, breeders, and to do it with a Stonehedge horse was especially special because I worked for the Campbells for over 30 years. And of course, Mr. Campbell passed away, and that was one of the last horses he named.
Well, I was going to bring that up to you, and you led me right into it. That relationship is so special for you, and you just alluded to the reason why. It's fitting that My Eagle soars would be the one to go ahead and put you ahead of Kim Hammond.
Exactly. Like I say, it was going to be a great moment. It is a great moment, but it was a special one.
When you hear those words, number one winningest female trainer in North American thoroughbred racing history, what goes through your mind?
Well, it really hasn't sunk in yet, to be honest with you, because, you know, we're just an everyday type operation. We've had a few high-powered horses over the years, which I'm very grateful for, but we're more of a blue-collar group. So, it was work as usual the next day, so to speak.
Yeah, you're right back at it. As a matter of fact, when you and I were trying to coordinate a time to get together for this show and record the program here, which is being pre-recorded, you and I were trying to coordinate, and you said, well, let's see. There's entries that day. There's entries, and entries don't close until this time. So the first thing that went through my mind was, does Kathleen O'Connell ever get a day off?
Well, we take time off, but it's hard to get a whole day off. You know, it's just like people that have children. Do you ever take a whole day off? No, I'm sure you don't. And even when you get babysitters or so on, you know, you're still calling to check in, and it's pretty much the life of a horse trainer.
You know, they say never assume, but I assume that you had watched the race a couple of times since My Eagle Soars gave you that record. Have you watched it very much?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's, you watch all races, you know, win, lose, or try and figure out better or where the horse is going to run back next time. But like I say, it's because so much happened in such a short space of time, you know, you really don't get to digest it, especially that one.
How many text messages or phone calls and congratulatory handshakes, hugs, whatever it might be, did you get after the race?
Oh, a lot. Too many to even acknowledge. I mean, it was just a flow of people, and I was very happy.
I know jockey Antonio Gallardo, who was aboard, was extremely happy, too. He had a quote after the race where he said that he was talking to his wife, and he said he really wanted it to be him that was the one to be aboard for that record-breaking performance, and lo and behold, it was. He referred to you as being like his mom, so he was pretty excited.
Well, he's been, you know, a major force in my operation, too. You know, we ride all riders, and that one rider is going to fit every horse. But I have two or three standbys or, you know, the regular ones. And he's definitely been one of the regular riders. And actually, he wasn't even coming to Tampa Bay Downs. I actually talked him into coming to Tampa Bay Downs the first year he came. And nobody knew him and nobody knew his agent. And I supported him. But, I mean, it's not like I ride just one rider. And he finished fifth in the standings. And when Tampa came, it came time to discuss Tampa, he goes, well, I don't know if I should go back or not. And I go, Antonio, I says, are you kidding me? You didn't know anybody. Your agent didn't know anybody. And you finished fifth. Do you know how huge that is at Tampa? And he came back the next year and he was leading rider for several years in a row. And, you know, it was just a wonderful start. It was before he had his children and him and Polly got married. So like I say, we have a long association.
You wouldn't have fought so hard to get him to come to Florida if you didn't feel as if he was a stand-up person and you didn't believe in him as a rider. So what attributes does Antonio Gallardo possess as a person and as a jockey that made you so adamant that you wanted him there, Kathleen?
Well, he's very reliable. He's got a good feedback. He's got good work ethics. You know, when you need him to work a horse or whatever, he's got a very good opinion and he's very helpful. You know, with the horses, it's a group effort. You know, you got a pretty good idea of how they are in the morning, but they're still a little different in the afternoon. So everybody's feedback is very, very important in putting it all together.
After the race, you were quoted as saying that you really were thinking about everything and nothing. And you talked about the journey. It wasn't the destination, but it was about the journey of getting there. So how much time have you spent, Kathleen, reflecting on your journey in racing?
Well, I mean, I started on the racetrack in Detroit in 1970. So that's a lot of years. So it's not just one moment. It's everything leading up to it. And it's all the ins and outs that, you know, you build on and makes you a better person and a better horseman and more experienced and everything that goes with it.
Well, we have a segment that ends our Equine Forum show every Saturday morning. The segment is called I Ask, They Answer. And I'm joined by Dale Romans and by Tim Wilkin, longtime turf writer for the Albany Times Union. And Dale, at the end of the program, got to his parting shot, which is what we call it at the end of the show. And this is what Dale had to say with his parting shot on Saturday morning, even before you got that record.
Last Wednesday was International Women's Day, and I want to tip my hat to the women of racing. We got Kathleen O'Connell only two away from passing Kim Hammond as the all-time leading female trainer. And they're both ahead of me in number of wins. But I want to say, tip my hat to all the ladies of racing. It's a man-dominated game. They have to work harder. They have to prove themselves more. And there's no two better representatives to the trainer industry than Kim Hammond and Kathleen O'Connell. I tip my hat to both. They've won over 2,000 races apiece.
Well, Kathleen, when you hear Dale talk like that in glowing terms about you and about Kim, what comes to mind? What were you thinking as you were listening to that?
it's some people are very stand up in the industry, and he always has been. And, you know, he's just always been a good person. The few times that I ran in Kentucky, you know, he always would stop by and say, if you need anything, call. You've got my number. You know, it's people like that, that when you're shipping places or, you know, you're going to the big races and you're not usually at the big races, that it's a very big help.
He talked about how women in the game, being a male-dominated sport, and there's no doubt it is, but women in the game have to work even harder to have the success that they've had. And I reflected back to the first time you joined me on Trainer Talk 4 years ago, and you told the story about getting your first license. And on it, it didn't say pony girl. It said pony boy at that point.
That's correct. But, I mean, when I came around, there weren't – Paula Bacon was just starting to ride. You know, the men didn't want to ride with them at Hialeah. And like I say, there was no box to check for pony boy or pony girl or exercise girl. That category didn't even exist. So, you know, I think it's tough in any business, but it's very, very tough in the horse business. But I think, you know, women have come a long way. And I just think in any business, if you give the 110%, if you put your nose to the grindstone, that you can succeed. The only thing that's going to stop you is you.
Yeah, and you've had to do that throughout your entire career. Persistence has always been something that you've prided yourself in. So talk a little bit about that. What's been the key to all of this success?
I just think the perseverance, you persevere on. There's, you know, the great times and you're at the big races. There's the times when it just doesn't seem to flow. Maybe the races that you need don't go. You know, the horses fall a half a length short or a length short. They run good, but just not that extra good enough. You know, as they say, there's only one winner, you know. And sometimes it does get discouraging. You're second. But you can always say you were the first loser. See, there's a good side to everything.
It's all how you look at it, right?
Exactly. And you just have you know, focus on the things that you can do to change things and move on when you can't do anything about it.
Your first winner came in 1981. Kim's Lucky Spot came at Detroit Racecourse. At that time, there's no way on earth you could have been thinking, at some point, I'm going to be the all-time leading female trainer in the sport of thoroughbred racing.
No, I was just happy that I had one breeder, which I'm sure he's passed away by now, that gave me the shot to train a horse, because I was just galloping horses. And I feel like I got a good foundation by galloping horses, and I galloped for a lot of good trainers, and I galloped with a lot of people that became eventually good trainers. So it's just a combination of learning. There's never a day that goes by that you can't learn something on the racetrack, from a horse, from somebody, from a hot walker, to another person in the paddock. There is always something to learn. And the best thing is to be like a sponge and absorb it all. And then you pick the good from the bad and what works and go from there.
Who are some of the people, Kathleen, that have had the biggest influence on you in your career? Some of the people you've learned the most from over the years?
Well, I mean, I work for so many people. I would surely hate to leave anybody out. But I mean, Jack Vanberg was in Detroit for years. I galloped horses for a gentleman named W.R. Harp, who's passed away, but he was a hard boot from Kentucky, and he was a very, very good horseman. There was Henry Ramirez, Sturgis Ducoin, who still trains in the fairgrounds. And like I say, I just feel like I was lucky because I galloped horses for these people at different times. I might have helped run the shed. I got to see different people's perspectives of doing things and just learning a little bit from everybody.
What does the name Sherman Armstrong mean to you?
Sherman Armstrong means a very, very lot. When I first came to the racetrack, of course, I just walked hots, and then they found out I could ride. Then I got a pony license. And Sherman Armstrong had come up to help with the Sugar Hill horses. And at that point in time, Detroit was getting ready to end. And he he knew I broke show horses. And I said, well, I've never rode a thoroughbred, but, you know, I rode the pony, took horses to the gate for him, walked hats, helped him around the barn. And he goes, well, he goes, if you want a job breaking two-year-olds and, you know, there's an opportunity in Ocala, that'd be a place to stay. You know, it was like $330 a month and a place to live, which, you know, I'm thinking this is the greatest thing. I ride horses, I do what I want, and I get paid for it. I mean, you know, and I think of how well it worked out, because at the time he had just came up to help Bill Cole, a gentleman that was training for Sugar Hill Farms, and he was going back to the farm. But I mean, I look at now, they were very, very good people, very stand-up people. He actually had a daughter that was just a couple years younger than me. And, you know, they treated me more like family than a farm worker. And of course, they loved me to death, because I mean, I didn't care. I rode horses all day. I just thought that was the greatest thing ever and get paid for it. And, you know, he was a wonderful person, a wonderful horseman. He was good at the training barn. He was a good jockey when he rode, and his specialty was the two-year-olds. So it was, you know, just strange. And a lot of things, like, I'm a right-handed person, but when he taught me about tying the knot and the reins, he was left-handed. So I remember one time years ago when I was going to work a horse because the jack was late, and I had my knot tied, and then he showed up, so they gave him a leg up, and he just worked the horse. And when he came back, he said, I didn't know you were left-handed. I go, I'm not. He goes, well, you tie your knot like a left-handed person. And I was thinking, well, that's probably because Sherman taught me how to tie my knot.
So what's the next chapter hold? Where do we go from here, Kathleen?
We're not sure. We're taking one day at a time, and we're trying to enjoy the day as it was Sunday, because it was a wonderful day. It really was.
Trainer Kathleen O'Connell, the number one winningest female trainer in North American thoroughbred racing history, a true unsung hero in the sport. She does find herself in the spotlight, but I thought in light of that accomplishment, that was appropriate for this morning. If you know someone you feel should be recognized as an unsung hero in our sport, send their story to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and I'll do my best to recognize them on these segments in the weeks ahead. I'll be back right after this word from Woodbine.
Attention horsemen, make plans now to race at Woodbine in 2023. The thoroughbred meet begins in April, and Woodbine will distribute more than $64 million in purses. Plus, you'll enjoy world-class racing and training facilities with top turf racing in North America over the prestigious E.P. Taylor Turf Course. Woodbine's convenient proximity to Kentucky and New York, along with a 9-month racing season, make it the perfect place to compete this year. Shipping incentives may be available, so don't delay. Contact Director of Racing Tim Lawson today and visit Woodbine.com for more information.